The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
Ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers sweeps the left. Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Chelsea 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes! Goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross sticks the biggest!
Kilduffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's an over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we're brought to you in association with our proud media partners, Off the Ball. A forgettable Friday is probably where we need to start. Joining me this week to discuss club matters, results, and this week's game away to the small village in Munster. Darren Cleary, Dazzler, what's the story?
Doody, how are you?
I'm good. We're going to jump straight in, Dazzler, because this, like that PTSD type stuff, the longer I go not talking about it, I feel it's going to affect me a little bit more. Friday, our defeat in the cup against our neighbours down the road. Sum it up for me.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, first half was terrible. Didn't turn up. Kind of got bullied around the pitch. Second best. Came out in the second half. Showed a good bit of fight. Probably should have been back in the game. Jad had an unbelievable chance. Harry Wood looks lively when he comes on, but at the end of it, probably can't have too many complaints about being out of the cup, because the entire first half was just no semblance of fight, no semblance of performance, and it was poor enough. Like, I've had a week to think about it, and I think about it very differently to I did last Friday at 11 o'clock. Like, it's definitely not something that you would associate with this team. It feels like such an outlier to just not turn up or perform or show any kind of fight. So I'm not, obviously, if it's a league game, it's much easier to park. I think the hardest part is, like, you see the way the draws worked out, and, you know, getting through that first hurdle would have given you a great chance of getting to a semi-final. And it's the what ifs that are more, the what ifs will bother me more than the performance bothers me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, Pat's got drawn against Derry in the next round, so straight away there's another. Like, you're probably talking, I'd imagine the winner of that will probably end up in the final. The draw we would have got, obviously, is Rockmount at home. Probably the handiest draw you could have gotten in the whole thing. Just, as you say, it feels like a missed opportunity, but the manner of it, like, the first half was just, it was so bad. It really was terrible. And that's never, as you say, it's an outlier. That's never been the case with us normally, especially in those balls games. Generally, they're so tight and, you know, we generally have been well able to compete, but we're just miles off it. And it's not as if there was, like, a major tactical change or something like that maybe got to grips with. Like, we just, and I don't know, I can't decide whether that, like, makes it easier to just be like, ah, sure, look, you know, wasn't their day, whatever, just, like, draw a line under it, didn't happen. We didn't make it happen either. I think that's a bit of a concern that I would have. Now, look, I'm going to go full Darren Cleary on this. Better off out of these cups. Just concentrate on the league. But that's where now my fear is, this game in the village on Friday becomes so important, because you're very close to, like, your season being over, with, like, 10 or 11 games to go. And I don't want that either, because, like, last season, look, league results probably petered out a bit because we had already gotten to the cup final, but there was so much excitement towards the end of the season, and just don't want another, I don't want a year like that. I want to keep it alive in some way, shape or form. And it was just a really, really disappointing night. It was three balls games in that short space of time is too much for me. I don't enjoy those games. I was actually talking to Stewie Byrne before the league game, and I said it to him. I said, these are genuinely just games I don't like. I really don't. I don't mind playing Rovers or Pats or whatever. I just don't know what it is. There's too many balls people close to me to be able to actually enjoy them. Actually, since the league game against Bowes, there was a little bit of Twitter uproar. Dazzler, why is there a cameraman and photographer the soundest man in the country and other photographers aren't?
Owen Smith Lyle.
Owen Smith Lyle.
There's a lot to be said about just coming to the ground, doing your job, and going home afterwards without trying to make it a performance of yourself. But that's the day, that's the world we live in now. Apparently that's what people do.
But imagine ramming your camera into that particular part of the ground's face. It's different if you get a photo like from a distance and it looks great, you know, you have pyro, we're not allowed to mention pyro or smoke or anything like that, but getting a good photo of, like, I don't know, do we go ultra group or the more passionate end of the stadium, by all means use the photo, that's great. But when you're that close and you're ramming your camera at people's face and then a few people basically tell you to get lost, can you be that shocked, really?
This is the weird one. Like, it then kind of turned into, oh, it's terrible to have hostility towards media. I've worked in media circles around the league for a very long time, and there's no hostility. I've never encountered hostility. If you do your job professionally and as your job is meant to be done, you'll never have any kind of issue. I think if you insert yourself at a moment of tension, if a decision goes against people and there's very high emotions and a lot of frustrations, I just don't think that is the moment to stick the camera in the face. Like, absolutely, moment of elation, you know, a goal, a big tackle, whatever it would be. Yeah, you're obviously going to get a great thing. But if you're trying to capture people at their worst, maybe, or at when they're not particularly happy, like, read the room, you know?
There's that. And then the other side of it, I've seen people say, like, oh, it's all right for, like, Owen Smith to do it. I've seen a very specific tweet about that. That's different. Like, that's, Owen knows a lot of those lads personally. It's a totally different thing. He's the club cameraman or photographer. I keep saying cameraman. He's the club photographer. Like, it's a completely different scenario.
And plus, he doesn't do that anyway. Owen shoots behind the goal. So it's a very different.
Yeah, and the odd time he'll pick up a really good fan shot, you know, of a celebration or something like that. I think Owen has a bit of sense. I think that's probably what it comes down to. But yeah, look, however, don't be a Wally. Don't record a game from pitch side and then expect to just be allowed to do that when there's rights issues and all kinds of stuff going around.
That was my favourite thing of this week. They were like, the FAI are making up rules as they go along.
That's bizarre.
Ban people. I got my press pass taken off me in 2020 because I tweeted Gary Deegan's goal out against Dundalk. Remember, he scored the screamer?
Yeah.
Absolute cracking goal. Screen record. It was the RTE showed it. RTE showed, I think, Rovers and Pats that night. And they showed the goal from a screen record on my phone because it was like a 4-minute package and I only wanted to show the 20-second goal. Tweeted out my own page, was like, oh, what a goal, screamer. And on Monday, I had no press pass, and a very angry English man in a snood was telling me I wouldn't get it back. And that was the rules. Like, I wasn't treated favourably, I wasn't treated unfavourably. Broke the rule, got the punishment for breaking the rule, which, to be fair, they sent an email out before the start of the season in 2020, and every year since, as far as I'm aware, outlining these are our rules with regards recording match action for media. You're not allowed to do it. Don't do it. If you do it, you will be you lose your press pass, basically.
But the main problem I have then is people who haven't a clue, people who do not know the rules or anything like that, jumping on board. And look, I've done enough of it in my time. It's lazy to just blame the FAI constantly. That is lazy. I don't care what anyone says. They're the rules. It's a very, very common thing. Just use your brain. And again, I've had a bit of a Twitter break myself in the last couple of weeks because, I mean, oh, I don't know about you, but it's just gone so bad. So bad. It's just a cesspit. No, there's no happy people on Twitter. There's happy people on Instagram. Ah, look at me. I went for a swim in the sea today. Ah, look at me. I'm eating an ice cream. Ah, look, I'm out for a walk with my dog. Twitter is just, oh, look at this bastard. Look, he said this. He did that. This is a disgrace. Football is gone. All this nonsense. No. I don't need to be annoying myself in my own house on a Wednesday.
No, you don't. I think, you know what I think part of the problem is, like, I know people who've worked with Extra Time and they give a brilliant education to young aspiring sports journalists, football journalists, whatever it is. They'll shadow you. You'll get to work alongside someone with more experience who'll show you the ropes. Info Sports File, all the major sporting agencies that cover Irish sport, photo agencies, the likes of Getty, you know, people, you're shown best practice, you're taught what to do, where to go, where you can go, where you can't go. I think if you just rock into a ground and just start running roughshod and just sitting where you want, doing what you want, and then are surprised when that's not how it's done, it's that part, it's that kind of entitlement is a little bit strange to me. But it probably does come from a place of ignorance of no one has just said, actually, you don't do that. Where if you're shadowing, you know, the Extra Time photographer, he'll tell you, this is where we're positioned pitch side, this is where we go before the game, and this is what we do for warm-ups. It's not sitting in the middle of them. But it's, I think a part of the element is there is a very much a fan citizen journalism thing emerging in Irish sport. Like, you're seeing more blogs, vlogs, groundhoppers. Sure, there was about 20 Turkish TV crews at the Derry game, making content, interviewing people. And it's just, it's not, you know, they don't have best practices. They don't know how you're meant to behave in that situation. And then they take it personally when they're told that's not how things are done. It is a bit mad. Like, it's entitlement, I think, is the word that sums it up for me.
Yeah, and I would point out, we spoke about this during the week with Owen Smith, and he did say, like, well, he didn't. I ended up saying, I've never had a bad run-in with a photographer or, you know, anyone. I've never once, genuinely, they all seem to be really sound blokes. Don't know what it is about photographers. I think maybe you have to have a certain, I don't know, personality to just be able to, you know, be in the background. You don't want to be front and centre. You're quite happy to just sit there off to the side. I think Owen described it as eat a full fill bar, drink a can of Coke, maybe sing to yourself to pass a bit of time every now and again, and that's enough. Anyway, we've given plenty of time to people that are not very important. Something else that has come out in the last couple of weeks, and I know season ticket holders would have got emails regarding this, was the incident involving the linesman on Friday during the Bowls, during the Cup game. Look, I'm not going to come on here, and I know you're certainly not going to come on here and sit and, you know, ask people to, oh, well, you should single people out. If you see somebody doing something or throwing a bottle or doing anything, that you should be, you know, police yourselves. Nothing like that. But, like, it's costing the club. That's what it's coming down to. It's costing major money, and it's happened a few times. And look, you're probably in a better position to kind of give the ins and outs of it than I am, but just feels very avoidable, and just use a bit of sense. The only thing I would say, I don't think it's, you know, people we would know, if that makes any sense. But Bazzy, you can probably share a bit more light on the subject.
Yeah, it's heavy fines will follow, and they have followed, and we've had it a few times this year. Like, there is a tiny minority, and what annoys me so much is it's so small. I don't think the way the club is addressing it is working. To be very honest, I was, when there was a conversation around a communication to season ticket holders on it, if I'm very honest, I was against doing that, because
Yeah.
You know, I think there's five bottles thrown on the pitch. There's 450 people in that stand. You do the maths, that's less than 1% of the people disgrace themselves. I don't think that you waggle the finger at the 99% because of something the 1% do, because I think the 99% are as horrified or disgusted by it as anyone else. Like, it's this, it's not just one incident. It's, you know, up in Dundalk last year. Oh, sorry, up in Drogheda earlier this year or last year. I can't remember now, but it was a linesman who was being spat at, having stuff thrown at them. It's awful. Like, it really is awful. And at this point, I don't think it's something that, like, I went out of interest and looked at the amount of times the club has sent messages or mails or statements about fan behaviour. And it's just a waste of time because, you know, you're talking to people who are just as sick of it as everyone. And you're talking to people who'd never in a million years dream of throwing something at a linesman. And I think it's just a bit of a waste of time to try reason with the unreasonable. Like, someone who is of a mind to throw something at a linesman or spitting at an official is not going to read an email and say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to do that again.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I don't think anyone who has gotten that email, like, I don't think anyone who has thrown a bottle or spat at a linesman has gotten an email, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't think they are a season ticket holder who will even see the email. So, like that, I think...
Well, they would be a season ticket holder because you couldn't buy a ticket for that game.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, look.
It's the minority, though. I agree with you. And I don't... Whether or not they own... Like, there was a time where a season ticket holder meant an inherent loyalty. Now it's just someone who's bought a season ticket. And the growth of the league means that there are season ticket holders who are not what a season ticket holder was 4 or 5 seasons ago, where it's someone who's had one for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. There are people who might be on their season ticket for the first time and, you know, they might be acting the arse. It is, though, a minority. And I would think the club's focus shouldn't be on communication. The club's focus should be on security and finding a way
to identify
and fix it. I think a much more effective communication would be the club have banned 2 season ticket holders for the rest of the season for doing this, instead of, you know, the please don't do this again. Like, I think it was important for the club to come out with a very strong statement against it. But at the same time, it's a bit of an echo chamber. Everyone's nodding and in complete agreement. So the message that you're trying to deliver is not going to the right people. And the message that you're trying to deliver is not going to resonate with someone who throws a bottle at a linesman or spits on a linesman. They're not going to read an email and say, better not do that again. So I think it's time for a talk and time for statements. It's all style. I think it's time for substance. If you really are serious about addressing that issue, deal with it, you know, have some mechanism in place to deal with it. Like, I, you know, find a way to fix it. I would have suggested, and it couldn't have been done because there's always reasons to stop these things from happening. Liaise with Bose, get CCTV from them and identify and sort it. But like these things, sometimes it's easier to just say the few words and hope that'll fix it, where I think we all realise that the few words won't fix it.
Here, look, we're 20 minutes in here and we sound like, what are they called, Statler and Waldorf? Is that what they call the 2L lads?
And Waldorf.
Yeah, that's kind of what
I still have more given out about the first half of the Bowes match to do.
Oh, here, no. Look, the first half in particular of the Bowes game was absolute shite. I don't think, like, you can try and break it down as much as you want. Anyone who watched the manager's post-match interview, the first half was just terrible. It was really, really bad. Too much catching up to do after that. Look, we should have had a penalty. It was a bad L decision. But again, taking that out of it, I still don't think we deserved anything out of the game. Conor Cairns, again, probably kept us in the game with a couple of saves. Like, you know, we were always going to have a chance to maybe nick something off a set piece or, you know, win a penalty or something like that. Still didn't really look like scoring at any stage. But again, Conor pops up with a couple of saves to keep us alive. Look, it's shite to be out of cup so early on, especially the way the draw went and other teams getting knocked out. But nothing we can do about it now. It's going to be full steam ahead to the village on Friday. We'll get there in a second. Go on.
Do you know what annoyed me most about the car? The Bowes game was, like, I remember reading Declan Devine's pre-match, and he was talking about fast start. We cannot start the way we did in Talca. We'll be out of the game at half time. They're coming to our place. We need to show intensity. We need to get into their face. We need to be aggressive, and we need to show what this means to us. Like, it was there in black and white. And when Bowes came and got in their face and showed a bit of fight, completely recoiled, didn't fancy it, didn't look like we wanted to be there, seemed completely shocked that they came and had a go at home. And I think that's the part that's hard to kind of reason. Like, you're looking at the expressions. I remember at one stage we had a throw in the first half, and no one wanted to throw in. No one wanted to show for it. No one had any fucking interest in trying to get the ball. It was just no one wanted to do anything. I remember looking at one stage of Sean Boyd, and he's so frustrated looking around, being like, what is going on? Like, why is this happening? And you could just feel it. There was just a sense of, you know, Bowes were unbelievably aggressive, asked serious questions, and for whatever reason, the players didn't have the answers.
And we certainly don't have the answers either, but look, it is gone, as I say. We'll move on to the Cork game now shortly. Just, there's a couple of bits around the club we just want to brush up on before we move on to Friday's game. You would have seen on social media that the new community officer, Tony O'Neill, got his first workshop done. It was an affiliate coaches evening. It was held out in Holt Celtic. By all reports, it went really, really well. It's great to see. It's great to see us in the community, out in that North County Dublin area, which is a huge, huge area. It's along the Dart line. It's where we should be aiming to go. So it's great to see it started. That is only the start of it. There'll be plenty more in the coming weeks and months. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes, what clubs and schools we can get into. It's been talked about loads, and it's definitely a step in the right direction. The other one, there's obviously been a fixture change with Dundalk, and we might touch on the European games later on, and also Shell's podcast, but a lot of people seem to be interested in Europe, me and you included. But the game that was originally fixed for Friday, the 4th of August, it was a 7:45 kickoff. It's been moved to the Sunday. So that's Sunday, the 6th of August, with a 5 o'clock kickoff, which I think is a deadly kickoff time. I love Sunday afternoon / evening kickoffs. They're great. Daz, is there any other club business you want to knock on?
Yeah, in the same email today around the issues around the behaviour of a very, very small amount of people, there's also a note from Tony O'Neill. Obviously, the Healthy Football League is back up and running. It's a chance for Shells to win a couple of grand. It's very easy to sign up. Healthy Football League, just Google it and you'll find out. Basically, you download an app, you select Shells as your team, and every time you do an activity, walk, run, cycle, whatever it may be, your steps or your cardio go towards the club. So it's a bit of a league table. Rovers won it last year, won a good few bob from it. So Tony is trying to get Shells involved. Tony would have spearheaded this while he was at Rovers. So we've signed their 20 Healthy Goal League a season person app downloader. You know, this is our chance. So yeah, get involved. It'd be brilliant to do well in it this year. And the details, if you're a season ticket holder, bring your email. If not, go to Healthy Football League. Just Google it and you'll find the details to download the app and sign up. Duty, I'm a bit annoyed.
Oh dear, this could be anything. Go on.
You just skirted over the decision.
Well, you see, look, it's as bad a decision as you're going to see. Genuinely, it really is. Like, that is the pits of a decision. And look, naturally enough, if it was in a game not involved in the Reds, I would have laughed my bollocks off and would have thought it was hilarious. not so hilarious when you're on the other end of it, but I would be a big believer in there's no point crying over spilt milk. Having said that, what in the name of God was the linesman looking at?
It's not even spilt milk. It's that, like, we should demand higher standards. Neil Doyle did the league game 1-1. He was brilliant. You know, he got 95% of decisions correct. A ref will never get all of them correct. You don't mind if the ones they get wrong are the marginal calls, a throw in here or there, a tight offside. You accept them. But the frequency of which game-defining decisions
are got wrong by referees in the League of Ireland, it has to be the highest in Europe. Like, it really does. And the problem is, it's never going to improve as long as they refuse to accept that there's an issue with the standards. Like, Tom Connolly was on the League of Ireland Central podcast.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
His exact thing was, well, part of the problem is people don't understand the laws of the game. There's no rules in football. And it was just so lecherous and, you know, speaking down to people as if they're idiots. And anyone who looked at that the other day would know that it's a complete and utter fuck up. Wouldn't blame Paul McLaughlin. I think he's blindsided by Evan Caffrey. I don't think he has a good view of it. I think Evan's in his way and he doesn't see it. The Lino, Darragh Keenan, whatever his name was, he had an unbelievably crystal clear view of it. No way he didn't see it. Absolutely. It's just shocking. And we didn't deserve to win the game, right? We may not have drawn the game. We could have lost the game. You could argue we got exactly what we deserved in the game. But that's a penalty. That is a penalty all day long. And what is Darragh Keegan there for if he's not going to make the big calls? I can understand a reluctance if it's the 93rd minute and you're not sure whether it's a penalty or a handball. Don't make the call. Like, don't change it. But that's just such a fucking blatantly obvious one. The movement of your arm tells you it's a deliberate handball.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It's not as if it's one of those where, you know, it bounces up off somebody. You know, it did obviously come up from the feet of the two players, but it's not like it's come at pace, hit somebody on the thigh, bounced up to their arm, or it's not anything like one of them. The ball was floating in the air and he just scoops it away. Just bizarre. And it was worse seeing it back. And it hit social media so quickly, the decision did. And a few people had sent it on to me. And oh my Lord, it was a stinker. I believe Mr. Keegan is actually on the line on Friday, so he can make up for it then.
You're joking.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure he is.
That's unbelievable. Like, there's absolutely no accountability. Like, if you make a mistake, you might get dropped. If you completely miss a game-changing decision and just completely abdicate your responsibility to support the ref and be a referee's assistant, like, the referee's assessor, the fourth official, how do you get a game the very next week?
But sure, look, fucking mind-blowing. The standard of it, and like, look, decisions is one thing. I'm a big believer in, like, there's a way to communicate as a ref, there's a way, and some refs seem to be okay at it, others seem to be absolutely terrible at it. My brother is involved with an intermediate football club who played in the FAI Cup on Friday, and I don't know whether you've seen the decision. It was in the Finn Harps game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, mother of divine.
That's the worst decision of the weekend.
Oh,
which is saying something.
How on earth? I cannot understand how he came up with that. But before all that, there was other nonsense going on about kits, and the kits were clashing, and basically Kilbarrick were threatened and told, oh, if you don't get the kit sorted, the game won't be played. You know, you'll give a walkover. And my thing was, yeah, let somebody come out and say, yeah, this team aren't allowed to play in the FAI Cup anymore after all their hard work last season to qualify because of an issue over one single jersey. And that's what the issue was over.
Keeper jersey.
No, it wasn't even. It was over a squad number, and basically the set of kits were missing that one number, and the referee was on a mad one over it. Like, nobody was wearing the number. You know, it's not as if on the match card, like, Darren Cleary is down as wearing number 7, and then when the push comes to shove, he's actually wearing 17. Nothing like that. This was before the game had even been played. Before the teams had gotten to the ground, this nonsense was going on. Then he had another one where a player went down with a head injury, like an actual head injury. The lad was busted open. And the ref played away. Like, way of the play on. Then naturally, ball went out of play. Kabarik player stood up, blood all over his hand from his cut head. And the referee said, oh, I checked him out. I checked it while the game was going on. That's not his job. His job is not to check to see if a head injury is bad or not. His job is to see a head injury and say, oh, I need to stop the game here because this lad's down holding his head, which is gushing blood out of it. Like, just, oh, weird stuff. Anyway, look, that's probably not really relevant to us, but...
No, but it is.
Just...
So I think Derek Egan got very lucky the other day because we played so badly. If that was a tight game, and if you could argue that we deserved something in the second half, I think it'd be a much bigger talking point. I think because we didn't kick up a big stink and Shells fans didn't really blow it up in the way it could have been blown up, because there probably was an acceptance that we were beaten by the better team and you take your medicine, you move on. But like, if that's a tight game and if you deserve anything from it and that decision goes against you, you're going to have steam coming out your ears.
Of course. Like,
the worst thing about that is if you're a Shells player and then you have to look at the same fella on the line knowing that he just is not competent or capable enough in the big moments, or he certainly displayed in the last 7 days that he's not. That's massive. Like, that's massively frustrating. And I don't know. I
always think that as an official, would you not rather be taken out for a week? You know, you're everywhere. People are slaughtering you on social media, and I don't know whether the officials are or aren't on social media. I haven't a clue, but surely they're seeing it somewhere. Would you not want to be taken out for a week? I'd be like, yeah, do you know what? I wouldn't mind just keeping the head down for a week and then I'll come back into action. And what made me think of the Kilbarrick-Finn Harps decision was that same referee is doing the Balls game on Friday.
Ah, Jesus.
So, like, two of the worst decisions I've seen all season, and the two refs are, you know. And, you know, the other part that's worse, there's only three games. There's only three fixtures on Friday night because of European games and stuff. So it's not as if there's no referees around. I know, obviously, there's a team of refs going away for European game. I think it's in, is it Iceland or somewhere like that?
Mm.
But, like, just doesn't make a lick of sense to me. So, congratulations, Dazza. You've actually had me referee bash on this podcast.
No, it's just the standards, right? The issue is not a human making a mistake. I could absolutely rationalize and reason with that all day long. The issue is the arrogance, the lack, you know, of humility, the hubris of, or the issue with League of Ireland fans is they don't understand the laws of the game. The issue is, see that thing the other day, like the manager said that either Rob Harvey or the ref said to him, oh no, his arm's down by his side, it's not a handball. Like, I'd have an awful lot more respect if someone said, I fucked up there, I didn't see that in the moment, I was blindsided, I saw the tape, I'm so sorry, it's a penalty all day long, instead of, nah, you don't know what you've seen there.
And you know what? I've been involved in football matches where that has happened, where a lino or a ref will come over to you at the end and he'll say, look, I made an absolute bollocks of that penalty decision, or I made an absolute mess of that offside or what it is. And like, you could be on the way over to have a go at the ref and they'll come to you first and say, I'm sorry, you know, I had a conversation with the linesman there, I definitely got it wrong and I apologise. It just diffuses the whole thing. Because what are you going to do? You're going to keep... You're just a bit of a mentler if you keep going at him after he's admitted he made a mistake.
Yeah. So it's the lack of accountability and the lack of... You know, it's just the insult to the intelligence of telling everyone in that ground the other day. Like, Owen Heary could see it up in the gantry. Rory O'Connor is a Bowes fan. Heary was calling Bowes wee. And both of them completely said it's a penalty all day long. Like, there's... It's not even a marginal call. Everyone could fucking see it. Like, how... You'd miss it. Like, it's impossible to miss, right? There's no way in the position he was in he missed it. So then he just didn't make the call. So that's a bigger issue. Is it afraid to make the call? Is it the referee doesn't want you making calls? What is it? Because that's the concern is, right, there's no guarantee that the same thing or a similar thing doesn't happen again. So we're doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over again, and nothing will change except for we're told, you don't know enough about the game, maybe you should do a referee course. The people doing referee courses can get that wrong. What's the point in any of us doing it?
No. Who on earth would be a referee? I don't know. Anyway, look, back on Shell's topics, before I forget to mention, Josh Saberi from the under-19s has signed for Newport County. He's gone directly from the 19s over. Everyone at the club, all our best wishes are with Josh. He's strong, strong, strong centre back. He actually reminds me a little bit of Steph Negru, the way he moves and how aggressive he is. So it'll have gone under the radar for a lot of people, I'm sure, because obviously Josh never played in the first team. But good to see, a good sign probably from the academy that lads are being, well, it's a good or a bad sign depending on what way you want to look at it. But all the best to Josh on his move to the Kingdom of Wales, and yeah, all the best to him. Dazzler, we've other bits and pieces we need to address.
And talking about Love Island?
Oh, no. No, I mean, look, we could try and break down Love Island all we want, but Scott, I made the comment before that if I had an adult daughter, I would want Luke Byrne to go out with her. I'm now going to change it, and I'm going to say if I had an adult daughter, I'd want Scott van der Sluis to go out with her. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't know what your thoughts on it are, but...
Your daughter's three, so I'm...
Well, that's why I said adult daughter, if I had an adult daughter, because somebody, you actually, it was the last time, clearly misread what I was saying, or...
I think I've done it again.
Purposely misunderstood what I was saying for comedic effect, whatever way you want to look at it. But if I had an adult daughter, Scott van der Sluis is the man. I'm going to put it out there. Can we just re-sign him now?
I don't know, yeah. Is he out?
I have no idea. Although, look, Harry Fisk could easily become a Shells cult hero someday. You never know.
Well, Scott was a Shells cult hero because he told me that himself.
You can't call yourself a cult hero. That's not how it works. I remember, I could see it. It was out at the bar after the cup final, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Draped in a Welsh flag.
Yeah, he brought one with him.
He had his two pals with him. I remember it well. Dan Hawkins was going around on the crutches.
One of his pals looked like DJ Khaled.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah. Anyway, Scott van der Sluis, an absolute legend. I've no doubt about it.
I look forward to welcoming him and Abby to Talca Park.
Oh, let's not go there. Imagine. Just imagine.
It's not that like ridiculous when you think about it.
Loads of people have said, oh, get him on the pod. In fairness, we didn't once ask him to be on the pod when he was playing for the club. He's left, having played two or three games, and now we're going to try and get him back on. No, that's, what do the kids call that, Dazzler? Clout chasing.
Look, it's happening all around the league. I mean, all you need is a camera to chase clout nowadays.
Oh, stop. Jesus Christ almighty. Absolutely desperate. We will eventually end up with a Cork preview here, by the way. Don't worry, stick with us for another few minutes and we will get there.
It feels like we're trying to fill time.
Who would have thought that we were panicking and at a bit of a loss this week, so we were trying to just put something slapdash together. But something I do want to mention is the performances of the League of Ireland teams so far in Europe. Now, you mentioned it before we start recording. I don't know whether it was me or you or somebody said on this podcast that everyone seems to presume all the clubs are kind of just coast through with those first qualifying rounds and everything's going to be dandy. Probably a reality check needed for a lot of clubs, I would have thought. You know what, it's probably not fair to blame the clubs for the hashtag greatest league in the world. Twitterverse probably need to cop themselves on a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a reality check at all. I think clubs for years have known how hard it is to win a game in Europe, home or away, never mind get through a round. So there was an awful lot of optimism where people were like, this is the easiest groupings of draws we will ever get. They're all winnable games. And the terms winnable games frightened the shite out of me because I'm old enough to remember Hibernians of Malta, the most winnable of winnable games in the history of winnable games in League of Ireland and Europe, and we went out. So yeah,
hang on, just before you go any further, a bit of a side note on that, Hibernians of Malta. That was probably my first real heartbreak as a Shells fan that I really remember. Like a real something's wrong here. Like this is just not the way things were supposed to go. My first really terrible memory of the Reds. Sorry,
it's probably mine. I was the first where I said, Jesus, how old is Gago now? Because I was like, we didn't, like, obviously, it wasn't a complete disaster, but we came on playing chasing the game and started for, it was kind of the moment like, geez, are the Reds on the downturn? And I think Nutsy was still the caretaker manager. If I recall, he had himself on the bench. That was the first moment where the Reds delivered proper heartbreak. Before that, it was doubles and happy times and all was well in the world of Shells, and then Hibs of Malta came along.
Yeah, look, this is obviously the official podcast of Shelburne, so look, people are probably going to be, oh, why are we talking about that? The main reason I want to address this is because I've seen a few Shells fans on Twitter saying, oh, hopefully, you know, those clubs get through a few rounds because if we eventually get into Europe, it will help our coefficient. It actually won't. So that's the first part. The coefficients are done on an individual club basis. The only coefficient that isn't done that way is the league coefficient. So we're not in the top 32 leagues, and I think it's 32 leagues in Europe at the moment. If we do get into the top 32 of leagues, it basically means that one of our conference league spots becomes a Europa League spot. That's the only way anyone's performances in Europe can help our club. So don't spout your stuff about, oh, it's good for us in a couple of years. It's not. It's definitely not. So get that out of your head. I hope every single League of Ireland team goes out at the earliest point in Europe. I'll stand by that fact because I don't want anyone to get any kind of upside over us. I don't want anyone to enjoy themselves. I don't want anyone to have any fun. Yeah, that's really the reason I wanted to mention it. But from a league point of view, time for a few people to wobble their heads and realise this league hasn't all of a sudden, you know, become La Liga or, you know, the Bundesliga overnight. We are well and truly where we deserve to be.
Do you know what? Thankfully, it's not a thing. But I saw there's one League of Ireland fan who supports a Premier Division club and a First Division club. I remember thinking, that's just not this league.
No.
That's the same kind of fella would be up for clubs in Europe. I remember Dan McDonald had a piece on his pod where he's like, he'd actually heard of a manager who didn't want other League of Ireland clubs to do well in Europe and be like, yeah, duh, all the managers.
Johnny Ward, I think, was the one that said, wasn't he, that, you know, all the managers would be supporting each other or whatever. I think Dan said, well, you'd be surprised. You know, it's not always
I'm
the
not surprised.
Yeah, like, why would you logically, as a manager, the only reason I could see one manager wanting another club to do well in Europe is that, yeah, the further they get in,
the better in the league.
Yeah, they're going to take their eyes off the ball. Grant, even at that, if you're sitting at home waving your bleeding dairy candy stripe flags around, you are an odd person. Sorry.
What if you're from Derry?
That's different. Obviously, like if you're a bleeding, and it's always weird clubs that come up with this kind of stuff.
Longford.
Oh. It is, though. It's so small time. Like, oh, greatest league in the world. We're all in it together. No. Like, no. Fuck Rovers. Fuck Pats. Everyone. I don't care about anyone.
People forget what football is sometimes. And it's like, wouldn't it be great for the league to see a good European run? What are you talking about? Go back to your bar stool and watch whatever game you watch on a Saturday.
And the more think about it, right, I remember when we played Deportivo in Lansdowne Road. And I can still remember seeing Bowes jerseys and Pat's jerseys and Rovers jerseys. And I didn't really cop it at the time, but what was going on there? Imagine me and you rocking out to Talla with Shells gear on for a Rovers European game.
I'd be in the away end. I think when Rovers drew AC Milan, I went straight on to Classic Football shirts and bought an AC Milan jersey.
But that's, like, I kind of wrap my head around it at all. I hope every single one of those clubs that got, well, who did get, it was only, what, Derry, Dundalk, and then Rovers obviously fell through the trapdoor. Like,
fell up.
I hope they all lose miserably, I have to be honest.
What did you make of Paddy Bonner? Because he's upset.
I've seen a friend of mine actually tweeting saying that should be enough to have his role in the FAI just gotten rid of. Just get him out. Like,
come on. Calm down. Paddy Bonner calling Celtic wee is not the big gotcha disgrace that you think it is. He's a Celtic legend.
No, but was his point not about wanting to lead in, like, you know, Celtic should buy a club in Ireland?
Celtic should. Absolutely, Celtic should. He's entitled to express that view. I think the outrage was a bit silly. Paddy Bonner is not going to go into an FAI board meeting and suggest that. He's speaking in a personal capacity.
Oh, but no, do you not think you should know better?
A bit silly. Like, the first person who's ever said something silly on a podcast, I mean, I'd say there's probably about 40 minutes of silliness if you go back and rewind a wee bit. I found the whole thing a bit of a storm in a teacup. Like, the multi-club model, I don't know if it'll be a success. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing for football. It's very, very early to make a call either way, but it's worked for some people in the world of football, mainly the City Group and the Red Bull people. Celtic don't have the money to do that.
No, I will stress, my whole thing isn't about Celtic buying another club. That I couldn't give. Oh, I've cursed enough. I don't care what Celtic do. I could not care less. My issue was he has a role in the FAI, and I just think it's a bit weird to be coming out with stuff like that. I think he should know better.
But it is a bit weird, but I think the problem there is not that he come out. It's the problem is the people that are on the FAI board, do they serve the best interest of League of Ireland football? Probably not realistically. Like, there are some brilliant League of Ireland people in the FAI at the moment. Is there a board level? No,
there's definitely not. But so at the same time,
that's your issue. Your issue is not Paddy Bonner's view. Your issue is maybe there's not enough advocates for the League of Ireland at the executive level. And to be fair, Mark Scanlon, you can give him a bit of credit. He's definitely done a better job than Fran Gavin. That's for sure.
That's Mr. Scanlon to you.
Mr. Scanlon, his forward-thinking approach. It's easy to bury the FAI and Paddy Bonner, but I think there's a bit of a storm in a teacup. I thought there was an awful lot of pearl clutching and outrage because it's not like Celtic are coming over and trying to buy a club against their will. He just said maybe Celtic should look at buying a club in Ireland because of the historical links.
Yeah, I'm a bit highly strung today, can you tell? I'm a bit on edge.
Yeah, you bashed a ref. You're usually Mr. Ref pal, friend, football friend.
Yeah, actually, now that I don't think you were part of it, but when we played Bowes in the league game, the draw on Talca, I was chatting to Stewie Byrne before the game started. Now, Stewie, we've done commentary and we've done a great interview with him and blah, blah, blah. So you kind of know him. It's one of those. I'd say he looks and goes, oh, that's the fellow from Shells. But a certain member of the Shells media team decided to absolutely slate me over saying that I had been talking to Stewie Byrne.
Who?
Reggie. Absolutely came me. He said, oh, Stewie, why, friends with Stewie. Sorry, Reggie. Can't all play hockey all day.
Reggie's the most miserable of Shells fans because he never saw anything good.
He has no happiness.
He came during the worst years. Like, he came when we were absolutely despicable, like, dreadful. His only happy memory was 2019, and then we got relegated to next year. So he's still sad about it. He's emotionally imbalanced because of the Reds.
Aren't we all? Anyway, here, look, we're like 45 minutes into this. We haven't even talked about the Cork game. Before we get into team or anything like that, can I just say, Cork fans trying to pick a rivalry with Shells is pathetic. I'm sorry, but it is pathetic. I wouldn't give Cork City the steam off my piss. Never mind my attention on social media. They are a weird bunch of people. I do think it comes from being very bitter that they will always be second fiddle to Dublin. Dublin will always be the capital of the country, and I do think a lot stems from that. Anyway, Dazzler, what kind of team are you expecting on Friday?
Sorry, I'm trying to process your monologue about how much you hate Cork.
I don't hate Cork. I couldn't give a shit about Cork.
Yeah, you're nothing them, even worse.
Yeah.
You don't even disdain them, you don't even deign them.
No, definitely not.
I'm nothing. Friday is a very, very important game, I think, because a response is what will be needed. Like, you look back and it's very easy after the fact to say we should have changed personnel, we should have changed tactics. Tactics worked fine the week before. I think playing forward to back gave us a little bit more on the other end of the pitch. They worked very well against UCD. We created more chances in that game than we have against UCD in 2 years. It's only UCD, you could argue, but still, they've been a bogey team for us. So I don't look back and think of a big, massive, glaring mistake that was made in the tactics or the setup or the personnel. I think it was just a bit of a failure on the day. But, like, I don't know. It would be interesting to see. I think one of the most frustrating parts of the last day is, I remember chatting to a couple of lads at half time. You're like, oh, he's definitely going to make changes at half time. But where do you even start? Like, you know, there's 10 people, maybe 11, that you could hook off at the break the last day. So I'd be interested to see what changes are made. Like, it probably has gone under the radar how big of a miss Shane Griffin has been. He was immense. Like, he really was. Paddy Barrett went off injured the last day. Hope that's not too serious. Matty Smith is such a loss. Like, I know it's making excuses, but the reality is we're down bodies, we're light up top, and it didn't click for us. I think we need to definitely win against Cork. I think it is a must-win game. If you are to keep that European route in the league alive, you know, nothing else will do. So there's a massive amount of pressure on a league game in Cork in July, and there probably shouldn't be, but everything that's happened in the last 7 days has brought it swiftly into the focus. The weird thing is, Doody, this is a very different Cork team than the one we played all season. Like, they've had a bit of a rebound in results. They obviously got a point in Drogheda a few weeks ago. They got a point away to Pats, which was a big one. Obviously, they lost to Sligo, and we know the circumstances around that, but they had the cup game, which was moved. They won that relatively comfortably. And before that, they'd had, you know, a decent winning run. I think they went 4 or 5 games winning. Like, they bet Sligo, they bet...
Yeah, 4 in a row they did.
Yeah, 4 in a row. So, Liam Buckley's come in. They've done really well. I think this will be the one of the hardest games you could possibly get back on the horse with.
Do you think
very difficult. Yeah, I genuinely do. Cork away. Cork probably galvanised and united by everything that's happened off the pitch the last few weeks. I think they'll be really, really, really up for it. They've taken two losses just this year, and one they'll definitely feel aggrieved about, the one in Talca and the one down there. Obviously, there's an OG to get us up and running, and then we get the second one in the second half. But I think they'll be really up for it. I think it'll be a very, very, very hard game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you look there, like, they're without a win in 5. You know,
Yeah, but look at who they picked up points against. Point against Pats, dude. We haven't done that this year.
I know, but then they drew a draw, then they got spanked by Sligo. Like, I would disagree with saying this is one of the most difficult games you can be going to play.
I think you have to take that Sligo game out of it. I don't think the Sligo game counts.
Yeah, look, yeah, that's probably a fair point. I don't fear Cork. And normally I would, like, going down there, I genuinely go, oh, no, here we go. But I just think they're very average. I think they've had their bounce now. They obviously had their little upturn in results, you know, their 4 wins in a row and all that. I think they'll settle back down now to kind of to their norm, if you like. I'd say now they'll, like, they're still 5 points behind Drogheda. Like, there's massive, massive pressure on them to beat us. They're the home team. I'm not fearful of Cork, I have to be honest. Team-wise, though, what can you see? What can you not see? Do we have any kind of update on Paddy Barrett?
No update. We'll probably have an update tomorrow. Team news from the manager comes out usually Thursday afternoons. We might have a clearer picture there. It did look to be injury-related. He did look to be playing through the pain at times. So we know a bit more on that tomorrow.
I'd probably be surprised if we see Luke. Just wasn't that back-to-back games now he played?
Yeah, he played both bows. He played the 3 bows game.
Yeah, so I'd probably be surprised to see Luke in the starting 11. But is that going to be a needs must now if Paddy's injured?
Yeah, and Griff, you would argue, probably isn't going to come in cold. Although he came in cold the last time we were played down in Cork, was his first appearance.
And had
of the
a
season.
Stormer.
Man of the match, best player on the pitch.
Yeah.
But I don't. He hasn't been in the squad. I'd be very surprised if not too soon from. I would have a degree of caution to approach the game for all the reasons you mentioned, Doody. It's a massive game for them. It's a bit like their cup final. Shell's coming down. They'll be well up for it. They'll sniff a bit of blood. They've strengthened this week. I think Jays is a big signing for them. I think he will be, he has the ability, certainly, if they can get a tune out of him. If they can't get a tune out of him, that would be a shame. But I definitely think it'll be the hardest game we've had against Cork this year, no doubt.
Yeah, I hope we go with a 4-4-2. And I hope we're attack-minded, which I think we could be, to be totally honest with you. I think, generally speaking, we tend to get a really good reaction after a poxy performance like we had on Friday. So I'd be hoping for more of the same. I'd probably go out on the limb and say, if we lose this game and Bowes win, which they will, they're playing UCD, it could be curtains for the European hopes.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of fear for the rest of the season then, like, you're just kind of dwindling around, and like, we have a tough run of games coming up. Like, we're down in Cork Friday. We played Dundalk away after that. Yeah, now I know the Dundalk one, I know, look, they'll only be back from Europe and stuff like that. We're home to Rovers, away to Sligo, which is probably the most winnable out of the next five. And then we're home to Pats. Then you're back into Bowes again. And it's just, I'm starting to look now at games like playing Cork, playing Sligo, maybe playing Dundalk, and going, we need to be starting to win games if you want to have any kind of outside chance.
People forget that the top four isn't guaranteed in Europe.
No,
it's only
no.
one of the top three win the cup, and with the way the cup draws opened up, look, the reality is one of the, like, Pat's Derry, one of them will probably be in the final duty, like you say. My head tells me it'll be Pat's. Bowes have a great chance of getting to a final.
We're basically just hoping Pat's, Bowes, Derry, or Cork. No, Cork. Don't want Cork. I have Cork on my brain now. Pat's, oh, you want Cork, one of Pat's?
No, oh.
One of Pat's. Just getting his. Actually, another kind of side note, a friend of mine who has no interest in the League of Ireland discovered the Stewie Byrne post league win rant for the first time. And he likened it to the Joe Brolly, Sean Kavanagh rampage on RTE. And I just found it hilarious that that video now has surfaced in my friend group and it's being used by everyone now. I'm angry is now just a normal response to everything, which I really appreciate. But yeah, that's thinking of Stewie Byrne. I'm turning to Johnny Ward here. Bleeding. He told some, I don't know whether you listen to LOI Central.
I do.
This one. This week's one is out. And he tells this story about Frank Worthington and breaking a leg. And he just pulled the story out of nowhere. There was no context. There was no... Anyway, now I'm even more like Johnny Ward. Jeez.
My favourite on Johnny Ward on that pod... No, my favourite Johnny Ward, full stop, was I texted him about the Pride Cup and entering an LOI Central team or maybe a Journos team. He's like, yeah, yeah, that'd be amazing. That'd be deadly. And he texted me a few times, yeah, yeah, definitely get on that. Send him on the dates. He's like, yeah, yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. Happened anyway. Didn't enter a team. And then about 2 weeks after it, I was walking. I was on South Circular Road at an event at the boxing stadium, walking down the street. And Johnny Ward goes, hey, he ran over to me. And he goes, when's that Pride Cup on? I was like, 2 weeks ago, Johnny's like, ah, it's over. So
I'm pro Johnny Ward for the record.
Johnny's an absolute legend. His crippling fear of the climate disaster.
Every conversation he has, he's just, well, like, sure, everything's going to be gone in 10 years, so it doesn't really matter.
Anyway. Will the Reds get back to Europe, or will Johnny's doomsday prophecy come true before then?
Ah, the Reds be back in Europe. We will qualify for Europe either this year or next year, 100%. Quote me on that.
Then
quote
Europe
me on that.
It'll be a charred mess.
Yeah, well,
no Europe
look.
To go to.
Ah, look. You never know. We might touch base with the Americans or something. Go and play in their Champions League. What's going on? Yeah, there's like a what are they called? What's it called over there? The CONCACAF thing. Is it the?
That's not a word, Jordy.
It is. That's what the bleeding the association over there is called. You don't have a whole lot of knowledge of football outside of like Shells, really, do you?
Not really.
Oh, jeez. Some bubble. I admire it. I enjoy it, to be honest. We're rambling here. We are majorly rambling. I hope we stick with a 4-4-2. I have lost the plot here altogether.
Frank Worthington broke his leg. CONCACAF. I hope we stick with a 4-4-2.
Oh, I want to think we were worried about getting 40 minutes out of this.
40 good minutes, dude. We've got about...
Yeah,
zero.
There's probably, I'd say, 8 minutes of Shells-related talk in this whole podcast. But look, here we are. It's all a bit of fun. Give me a score prediction for Friday, will you? Let me wrap this thing up.
So come on, do you want us to play 4-4-2?
I want us to play 4-4-2. I think Boydie is going to score. And I can picture a Mark Coyle goal for some reason.
So you're going 2-0 Reds?
At least.
At least?
At least.
Jeez, dude, you're very confident.
Well, I also thought we were going to beat Bowles 2-0, so here we are.
I think we've... How many goals have we scored since the restart?
Don't worry about that. Don't come at me with facts.
Goals have been hard to come by. But I will approach this week in optimistic vein and say small village in Munster will be licking their wounds after a 2-0 Reds defeat.
Beautiful. Dublin will always be the capital. Always. And there's nothing they can do about it. Dazzler, thank you very much for giving up your Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday evening.
Cheers, Duty.
Up the Reds.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Race